Welcome to the Saturday Down South podcast. My name is Connor O'Gara. Today we are joined by Jason Swain, the former Tennessee receiver and current host of the Swain event on 1180 AM Knoxville. Jason, we appreciate you coming on amidst some tumultuous times in Knoxville. I imagine you are feeling a bit better than Butch Jones right about now?
Probably, yeah. I don't have a game to prepare for Saturday against a coach that has a pretty good record against me with my job on the line. So yeah, I'm having a better day than Coach Jones and a better week.
I think that's fair to say. Let's get into this thing. For those of you who have the words Tennessee or Vols or Rocky Top muted from your Twitter feeds, here's the Reader's Digest version of what's going on in Tennessee. Butch Jones' seat has never been hotter after getting thumped by Georgia, so he went into the bye week with a chance to clean up the mess. Then, of course, he had a quarterback controversy on his hands. Right around the time that we heard about reports that Jared Guarantano was going to get the start, we also heard that Quentin Dormady was contemplating his future in Knoxville. So just when you think things can't get even crazier, that's just the way that things have gone. Ultimately, though, Dormady ends up showing up at practice on Tuesday, and everything's back to normal. Not really. Jason, I'll simply ask you this. What in the world is going on in Knoxville right now?
What is not going on? This team is still trying to find leadership. They're still trying to find some chemistry, trying to find some momentum. They're trying to find themselves, really, and trying to get a win against South Carolina, a team that last week played very well against Arkansas. But, locker room questions, leadership questions, you got production questions. You got to step up and make plays on the football field. Just a lot of questions and a whole lot of drama going on right now, it seems.
I'll ask you the questions that has been asked, but I think it's almost become common sense now. Did Butch Jones make the right move by going with Guarantano?
Well, I think he did. I think this team needed a spark. I think the offense needed a spark. I think he needed to use a quarterback with a different skill set that can also deliver the football to the wide receivers, the tight ends, and running backs in the passing game. But this team needed a spark, and hopefully Guarantano can be that spark for them. Losing at home 41-0 to Georgia, it seemed like Tennessee was lifeless out there. And then the week before that, it was definitely lifeless against UMass, one of the worst teams in college football. So this team needs a spark. I think it was the right decision for Coach Jones and staff to name Guarantano the starter.
I think a lot of people wish that it happened a little bit sooner. I think they saw the signs against UMass and thought, hey, what can it hurt at this point? Do you think that Butch Jones should have made a quarterback switch maybe a few weeks earlier?
Well, I think Guarantano should have been given more opportunities with an offense that fits what his skill set is. I felt like when Jared was out there, they were pretty much doing the same thing they were doing with Dormady, and they are two different quarterbacks. So Jared could have played a little bit more, but this staff this week, not only do they have to make things easy for Jared, other guys making plays, but they have to use his skill set. They got to play to his strengths, and I didn't think they did that enough when Guarantano was playing before.
I know that he hasn't exactly set the world on fire, so is there anything really that you've seen from Guarantano that makes you think that he can sort of turn this offense around besides just providing an initial spark of, the grass is always greener? Is there anything that you've seen from him, from what he's done on the field this year, that makes you confident that this can look like a new offense?
He can deliver the ball. I mean, he's a pass-first quarterback. Or he can deliver the ball. He put a lot of zip on the ball. One thing that he had to work on was – taking some of it off of it sometimes. And he's done that from everything that I've heard. He adds another dimension with his legs that he's not to take off first and run and outrun the defense, but he is a guy that can pick up first downs, that can move the chains with his legs if passing plays break down or guys are not open initially. So I think he brings a different dimension to the game that will cause defenses to have to account for his legs and for his arm in the pocket.
you know what it's like when a quarterback situation is just kind of in shambles. There just doesn't seem to be a guy. I think Butch has been waiting for somebody to just sort of separate himself and say, this is my job and I'm going to take the offense and run with it. How much does that wear on a team? You've been a skill player in those locker rooms, and you know what that's like when you just can't get that guy under center. How draining can that be on a team and on an offense?
Well, I mean, when you're turning the football over, it really makes it difficult, and that's kind of been the issue for Tennessee in the last couple of SEC games. Also, this team lacks explosive play, so they need those. You know, Mark Callaway, who had an explosive game against Georgia Tech, had four catches, 115-plus yards, and has only had four catches since the first game. Got to find a way to get him involved, no doubt about it. When you get a guy that put the work in practice and he's put the work in the film room and gets his opportunity, and as a teammate, you get excited about that. You get excited for him, and hopefully this team can rally around Guantano and put together a really good offensive performance, or just a performance enough for the team to win. You know, special teams have to play better than they have. Defense, they have to play better. Even though they play pretty good, they got to play a little bit better just to account for maybe the lack of explosive plays on offense. But I've been a part of this, not as much drama taking place with this football team, but I've been a part of quarterback changes. And when that new guy gets in, you know, you want to rally around him, and it's a breath of fresh air. So hopefully these guys can do that for Jared.
Let's get back to Butch. I think everybody and their mother thinks that his days are numbered in Knoxville. You're plugged in as anyone on this situation. What's the sense that you get from people around that program as it relates to Jones's future?
Well, I mean, he needs to win. I mean, he's definitely in some hot water. Anytime you lose 41-0 to Georgia, you lose to Florida. Those are, you know, your two rivals. You're 0-2 against so far this season, and you still got Alabama that you have to play. You got Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Those teams are no slouches. So there's no doubt. Yeah, his seat is very, very, very warm, and he's going to need the South Carolina win in a huge, huge way, because if he doesn't get this win, you're staring at 4-5. You know, you're staring at, you know, losing the last 4 out of 5 games if you don't get this win against South Carolina, because I don't think anyone thinks that Tennessee's going to be Alabama with how they're playing. So this game is extremely important for Butch and Butch's future.
And, you know, to the one win, of course, being the UMass win, which felt like a loss. So you've essentially had a month of...
Yeah.
I mean, is that fair to say? I mean, I think the feeling was maybe just as negative, if not even more negative, than it was after the Georgia game, because it's like,
well,
man,
I mean,
this is...
Yeah, I mean, a win is a win. You know, I would rather win ugly than to lose pretty. But
that's true.
What the team showed in that football game is that they were uninterested. They, at any point in that football game, they didn't snap out of it. You know, we've seen teams play at noon and play an inferior team and, you know, take a quarter, two quarters, three quarters to just kind of snap out of it, and then they put the foot on the gas. But Tennessee never did that. You know, UMass had a chance to win, and their starting quarterback goes out, and they didn't really take any shots to go win the football game. So it took a last drive stop for Tennessee to get that win. And fans are not stupid. Fans are pretty smart. They saw the body language. They saw the lack of enthusiasm. They saw the lack of excitement, lack of focus, turnovers. And that's why the fan base wasn't too happy even winning that football game. And then that effort carried over to Georgia. And there's absolutely no reason, no excuse why you shouldn't be up, you shouldn't be focused, you shouldn't have a level of focus, concentration, intensity, passion against a program that's your rival. So, this game is important for the locker room. This game is important for the coaching staff. You know, fans, the tickets are not as expensive as they've been in the past. You know, student tickets are now very accessible, and a lot of people are watching and waiting to see how the team's going to respond on Saturday.
I've said this before as it relates to situations like Jones. When you have a stadium that seats that many people, I always say the stadiums are too big, the stakes are too high, and the conference is too good to get embarrassed. And that's what it comes back to with Butch Jones. And I think now you're going into this South Carolina game, and it's about not getting embarrassed more than anything else. But what's the line, maybe? And you've hinted at this in the early part of our conversation here, but what's the line for Tennessee to say, you know what, we're done here? What, even if they lose this game by 3 points and it's one of those games where they have a valiant second half comeback, is that enough to save Butch Jones' job, or is it just as simple as you win, you stay, you lose, you go?
There's really no excuse for Tennessee not to win the game. I mean, Tennessee has recruited at a high level the last 4 years since Coach Jones has been here. The knock on Coach Jones is that, you know, he hasn't had a great retention rate with some of those recruits that he's brought in, and he's had trouble developing them, but there's still talent on the football team. So a loss by 3 or a loss by 13 or 23 or 33, a loss is a loss. And they gotta win this football game. Georgia, 2 years ago, Tennessee had a lead. You know, Georgia changes coaches. They have a freshman quarterback last year. And in 2 years, Kirby Smart has this team in striking distance of Atlanta and possibly a college football playoff with the way they're playing. And Tennessee has had 5 years to kind of be where Georgia is right now. So South Carolina, they're making moves. Florida, at some point they're gonna wake up and realize that, they can do a little bit more than what they're doing with McElwain. We'll see what happens there. But, Tennessee had a prime time opportunity to really create some separation in a division that's really, really down, and haven't done that yet. So, to me, it doesn't really matter if you lose by 3, you lose by 13, you lose by 23. Tennessee has the players to go out and win, and they have to go out there and do it. They got to be inspired. They got to be playing for each other. They need to be put in positions to be successful on defense, offense, and special teams. There's no excuse to lose, period.
I think you bring up a really good point about Georgia, and it might not have been the most obvious takeaway from watching that Tennessee game, but it's the fact that you're right. Georgia has turned this around in a hurry. And yeah, Georgia, you could maybe make the argument, with the recruiting base and Kirby Smart, kind of having a lot of those guys stay and in place, and they had a lot more talent maybe than, Butch Jones had, of course, to work with. But I think just seeing Georgia at this level right now is all the more frustrating for Tennessee fans that think that they should be right there with them year out, and I can't really blame them. So the tough thing for me is I think a lot of people sit there, on Twitter during a game, and it's easy to just kind of make decisions about a coach in the heat of a moment. And it happens, way too much. But what I'd like to do with you is just kind of run through some scenarios and get your take on whether Butch Jones stays or goes at Tennessee. So let's say he gets over this hurdle on Saturday. Let's say Tennessee beats South Carolina, as many expect the Vols should. Let's say he gets past that. Let's say they get thumped next week against Alabama. It's a bloodbath. It's one of those 66-3 Ole Miss type games. Nick Saban runs up the score and he doesn't care. Who knows about it? Butch Jones going to be able to survive that, you think?
If he loses against Alabama but wins against South Carolina,
correct.
Yeah, I can see him continuing to coach and be on the sideline. Heading into the Kentucky game, then you play with Southern Miss and then you play Vanderbilt. So yeah, I mean, you beat South Carolina but you lose Alabama. Everyone lost Alabama. Yeah, I can see him being on the sideline against Kentucky. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
And that is what, in my opinion, of course, and as you've referenced, why this game is so important this weekend, because it's not like he's going to win, pull off a stunner against Alabama, of course. But, I think this might sound crazy for some people, but let's say he survives the Alabama game after, wins against South Carolina, survives against Alabama just because it's Alabama, and then he stumbles against Kentucky. Is that the last straw? And keep in mind that that's right before homecoming weekend. You got a lot of big, important people coming into town. There's going to be a lot of influences there. Does he survive a loss against Kentucky? Can he potentially go 1-2 in the next 3 games and keep his job?
Losing to Florida, Georgia, and Alabama is one thing. But when you want to get the attention of the decision makers, go lose to Vanderbilt, lose to Kentucky. And if Tennessee does that, then I don't really see how he's going to survive losing to Kentucky. Those are two programs that, you know, Tennessee fans feel like you just can't lose to. You don't lose to. And so I think it'll be tough for Coach Jones to make it past the Kentucky game if he drops that one.
We talk about all the goofy things that Butch says. From your perspective, you've seen this as a player and now, you know, as somebody that's in the media that has a voice. How has that really changed the public perception of Butch Jones? Because sometimes when you sit there and you do a blind resume thing, I think it surprises some people. But then when you kind of take in everything, it just, you know, his perception nationally has become a little bit of a joke in some of the things that he says. What do you think that has made an impact on his overall impression within the program?
I think the things that he says reveal that there's not a championship culture. There's a culture of just being better than Derek Dooley. There's a culture of being satisfied with going to a bowl game. And for Tennessee fans, they want more than just a bowl game. They understand the work that Butch Jones did after Derek Dooley, you know, 2013, 2014, building the roster. But at some point, just being better than Derek Dooley is not good enough, and that's where the Tennessee fans are right now. You know, when you are celebrating bowl games and the fashion that we're celebrating and some of the things that's being said to deflect from the disappointment of not reaching Atlanta, not reaching the Sugar Bowl like we did last year, it really makes you wonder, like, whoa, what's the goal here? The goal just to be, you know, 7-5 or 8-4, or, you know, win a ninth game in the bowl, or is the goal to compete for a championship? And I think for the fans, they feel like there's a disconnect from Coach Jones' expectations and their expectations. And, you know, I think it's unfair for people to look at Tennessee fans and go, oh, well, they think they're going to win the national championship every year. No, they don't think they're going to win the championship every year, but they do want to compete for one. I don't think that's too much to ask. Some of Coach Jones' comments in the, you know, in the media, I think for Tennessee fans, that's what they see. They see, you know, it seems like a coach who's okay with just winning eight games, and that's not what they signed up for.
Well, you say there's no championship culture, but there is a champions of life culture. Is that worth something?
Oh, my gosh. Stop it. Oh, man. Yeah. Listen, I live here, man. I gotta deal with that stuff, man. I just ignore it. This week was what was that, leadership rep? I just ignore it, man. I didn't mention it on my show. I just try to ignore it. I'm kind of used to it. So everyone else, man, you know, they get all giddy and, you know, they make fun of Coach Jones, which, you know, he brings a lot of it on himself. But I'm so used to all these silly slogans and coach speak that, you know, it doesn't even faze me anymore. It doesn't faze me anymore. I don't even react.
Okay, so I got to ask, though, how many leadership reps did you get in this morning?
Me? I got plenty, yeah. Man, because that's what we do on the show, man. We that's all we do is put out leadership reps. That's what we all do, right, man.
All right, well, we'll change gears
by
a little
way,
bit.
By the way, I don't really know what that is yet, so I'm still trying to figure out what a leadership rep is.
I don't think anybody
the way
knows.
Used it, but whatever.
Just go yeah, away. That one's going to take some explaining. All right, well, let's change gears a little bit because I know you were part of that 2005 team. Everybody remembers going into that season, USC and Texas. They, of course, have that big national championship. I think nationally what's often forgotten is the fact that Tennessee started that season number 3. They end up with, you know, you guys end up with 5 wins, and it doesn't turn out the way that obviously you guys had hoped. And it's just been, you know, a lot of disappointment in the 21st century for that program. You've seen both sides of the coin in terms of things, in terms of when things go south as a player and now as somebody that has a voice in the media. Why does it seem to snowball so quickly at Tennessee, now seeing those situations?
Well, you know, 05, you know, that was a talented football team. Offensively, we just couldn't find any chemistry. You know, we had a quarterback that was starting that should not have been starting. And that led to some of the lack of chemistry on offense. Defense was lights out, and it just seemed like, you know, every game we played in, we needed a bounce our way, but we didn't get it. And sometimes that happens, and that was that year in 05. You know, since then, you know, it's been tough. You know, you're a couple bounces away in 06, you know, from you had Florida up by two touchdowns, and one penalty changed that game, and they went on to win by 1 point, and then they went on to win that national championship. And then you had an injury quarterback there that 1 year. So, you know, 06 was obviously not the expectation that Tennessee sets out every single year. And in 07, you had a chance to go out and win the SEC championship game against the champions, LSU. Came up a little bit short there through a pick late to lose that game. And then from 07 on, it's just been, you know, it's been tough. And you wonder, again, just what are the expectations? I mean, why are we doing this? Why are we waking up every morning? Why are we going to work? Is it to compete for an SEC championship, or is it just to go to a bowl game, just to go to the Tax Slayer Bowl or to go to the Outback Bowl? I mean, that's no slight to those bowls because they do a good job. But that should be the consolation prize for a program like Tennessee. The grand prize is a championship appearance. The consolation prize should be going to a bowl game, and that's where Tennessee should be. That's where programs like Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida State, that's where those programs are, and that's where we need to be.
What's it like in the locker room when things are at a low, like what they're at right now? What's you said, you know, it's tough. You think to yourself, we're waking up, going to work every day, wondering what are we doing here? And I know you can't speculate on what that's like inside the mind of every single player that's in that locker room right now, but just going through a season like that, when you're hitting these months and you're not competing for an SEC championship anymore, do you have those moments?
Yeah, I mean, it makes doing the little things harder. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. I mean, you know, when you have a jam-packed day and so much is asked of you, it's harder to do those things when you're not winning. You know, you came to school to win, play football games, and compete at a high level. And, you know, when you're not winning, I mean, it just feels like the whole world is dark and the sun never comes out. It makes going to practice harder. It makes going to class harder. It makes going to workouts during the week harder. And when you win, I mean, it's easy. Everybody's happy. You know, you go to work and, you know, you give it all you have, but it really challenges you as a man, and challenges your character and your integrity to go out there and work as hard when you're losing, because you question if it matters. You know, hey, we're practicing 2-3 hours a day, and, you know, there's sun, and, you know, I'm hurt, and, you know, what's the point if we're losing? So that's what you need. You know, you need your leadership to emerge. You need, you know, the coaching staff to find new ways to motivate and inspire. It's a challenge for sure.
And I think this year that's even tougher without a guy like Josh Dobbs to kind of rally the troops and keep everybody going. I think they miss him now from a leadership standpoint more than ever, and we're seeing that. We could potentially see that come out even more on Saturday. Jason, you've been so gracious with your time. I want to get you out on this one final question. We've asked you to do a lot of predictions so far, but I'll ask you just this one more. How does this thing play out for Tennessee?
You mean long term or Saturday?
We'll do both. We'll do more than Saturday. Beyond Saturday, what is the future of this program? Is Butch Jones surviving beyond 2017, et cetera?
Well, you know, if I'm Butch, you know, I would take a look in the mirror, and, you know, I'm looking at what I've done in 5 years, and I didn't get to Atlanta with the down east, and here's Georgia, Kirby Smart, what he's been able to do with some of Mark Richt's players, some of his own, and, you know, you have the season that you're having now. And listen, they may finish the season strong and win every game, but I think the relationship between Coach Jones and the fans are to a point where I don't really know if they can recover. I've never seen the feeling towards a coach like the Tennessee fans towards Butch Jones right now, and I've been in radio since the Derek Dooley time. It's rough, you know, it's really rough. So You know, if I'm Coach Jones, he may make it, may not get fired, but I would look at, you know, possibly going to a place where 7, 8 wins, 9 wins is celebrating your God. You know, you look at David Cutcliffe, who was my offensive coordinator at Tennessee, and if he wins 7, 8 games at Duke, they're celebrating and doing backflips. And for Butch Jones, it just kind of seems like that's been his goal here in the last couple of years, and that's just not what Tennessee fans want and sign up for. So maybe he goes somewhere where there's less pressure, less expectations, and he'll be happier because he just doesn't seem happy anymore.
I think that's a fair thing to say. I think his press conferences have been very indicative of a guy who's just kind of in over his head and maybe just needs a place where expectations are not at the level of what they are at Tennessee. Jason, I really appreciate your time. You've been so gracious with us. Stay on the grind. I know this is tumultuous times, but make sure you get your leadership reps in tonight, okay?
I'll work on it, man. Thanks.
See you.
All right, Jason. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. See you.